You know, I don't know about yourselves, but sometimes it's not always a good thing to think. What I mean by that is to say what you think. Sometimes we ought to take 10 seconds before we say what we think. Sometimes I think, I don't know about you, but sometimes I think, I wish I had more of a filter. But at the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now today, I think this is a challenging message. Everything to do with Scripture is beneficial. It's to encourage and to enable and to lift up, to direct, to correct us and enable us to know the truth, and the truth will set us free. And I've been looking at the kingdom over the last few weeks when I've been ministering, and I want to look at this again. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and these things will be given as well. And we looked at the goodness of God. We looked at the small amount of faith that can actually do mighty things. We look at the peace. We look at the things we wear and the things we drink and the daily needs. Give us, Lord, our daily bread. And one of the things for me is when you start to say, Lord, give me eyes to see and ears to hear, and you actually look at what's going on around us, it's not always a good picture, is it? And we know that families have been under attack for many, many years. The enemy comes to rob, steal and destroy, yes? But God comes to bless and to build us up. And so often when we come into relationships with other people, particularly those that are Christians, we can be, have to be careful, lulled into a false sense of security sometimes. Because I don't know about you, but there's people that I will go out to battle with, and there's people that I won't. And when we're going forward as a ministry, when we're going forward as a church, when we're going forward as a people, as individuals, whether you're married or you're not married, whether you're divorced, whether you have children or you don't have children, we want to know that there's other people around us praying for us, interceding for us. As Emma shared a testimony, we need to believe that prayer works. And oh, we do it, don't we? You know, we're Christians, we pray. And sometimes we don't see the answer to our prayers right away, and we wonder, okay, Lord. But God doesn't change. He asks us to pray, we pray, the rest is down to God. When it comes to praying for any situation, we're called to pray. God's the one that does the work. It's the supernatural with the natural. But we come with faith. And I want to explore this whole kingdom principle again. And my message, if I was going to title it, well, I am going to title it because Nigel will email me, is wheat or weeds. And some translations say tears. And we can say, is it tears that come down our eyes, or the tears are is false wheat? And there's a portion of scripture that talks about this, and I want to share it with us. And it's a parable in Matthew 13, starting at 24. Jesus told them another parable, a parabolos. It comes alongside. It's another way of expanding the truth. And whenever you read parables, it's simple. They are simple, but sometimes we can complicate them. There's a portion of scripture I'm going to read in a little while where it talks about the 10 virgins. And I've heard message after message on, I wonder what the oil represents. And why did he put it in a lamp? And what about this? And what? But there's a simple answer to what can be complicated. So I don't want to complicate God's word. I want to read it and let us see what the Lord is saying. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat. And then he went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. So this portion of scripture is telling us that they came and appeared at the same time. They grew about the same height. Now when you look at false wheat tares, there is a name for it. And I wrote it down so that I could tell you what it is, and I forgot where I put it. So there is a word for it, and this wheat, this false wheat, it looks very similar. From a distance, you can't tell much of a difference. It still has ears, and it still has those whispery bits on the top. But one is not good for you, and one is. And so often in life, we can see what appears to be the truth, but actually falsehood. So when we look through scripture, we should always have eyes that will see and ears that will hear. What are you saying to me, Lord? What is this portion of scripture saying to me? I need to know the truth, and see the truth will set me free. But I can't be set free unless I know the truth. I'm in competition. So I wonder who can speak the loudest. I think I might win on this one. The owner's servant came to him and said, "Sir, didn't we sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you're pulling up the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest." And you'll see this represents the true Christian, the true believer, and the false believer. And so often in life, sometimes you can't tell the difference. Have you ever met people and you thought, "Do you know what? You're nicer than some of the people I go to the church with." Not this church, of course. Have you ever said that? You know, you have more of a principled life than some people I know who pray. And it's difficult sometimes to see the difference, but the scripture tells us the difference, shows us the difference, encourages us with the difference. But what the Lord is saying here through this parable, know that them both grow together, because there will be a time. Have you ever been in a situation where good people suffer and bad people don't? You know, there will come a time where we're all asked to give an account. There will come a time where the door is shut, and you'll be on one side and they'll be on the other side. And that's the truth of the gospel. It's those, God never ever sends anybody to hell. They choose to go. And no, he answered, "Don't pull them up, because you'll uproot the good and the bad at the same time. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them into bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into the barn." And this is a story about the end times. It's a story about when the Lord comes back for his church. This is a time, talking about a time that we're not in at the moment, but there is a period where we have an opportunity to shine. We have an opportunity to grow. We have an opportunity to make a difference. So the challenge, I believe, as we look through this scripture is to examine ourselves. Because it's so easy, isn't it, to point the finger and say, "You ought to be, but then what about me? What about me?" One of the things I've learned over the 20 years I've been fortunate enough to be in ministry is that I always get it wrong. And I guess many of you do too. But we have a God of grace. I said last week, I don't want to serve a God that gives me justice. I want to serve a God that shows me grace. Undeserved favor. It says in this portion of scripture, I alluded to it. I'm trying to put my time on, so we'll start from now. It says this in Matthew 27. Well, I can have a little bit after 20 years, do you think? Thank you. 25:1. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come and meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." They replied, "No, go and buy some of your own." And when we look at this portion of scripture, there's a message in this parable all on its own. When you look at the tradition of the Jewish ceremony, the courtship, when they were betrothed, it was a legal contract. They were betrothed, and then the future husband had to go off and build a house. All you women going, "That's a good idea." He had to build a house, and it wasn't until the father inspected the house and said, "No, that's good enough for that bride of yours. Now go get her," that he would go out with his possession, and this is where the whole bridesmaids come into it. But we know that we are the bride of Christ. And this parable is very simple. And if you want to sum it up in a simple way, which we should do, is live your life ready for when Christ comes back. Keep short accounts with one another. Keep short accounts with him. Live your lives ready, because we don't know the day or the hour. And, you know, if we knew what was going to happen next week, we'd make some different decisions this week. If we knew what was going to happen in 2 weeks' time, we'd make some different choices today. But we don't. So we shouldn't be a tear. We shouldn't be a weed. We should be the wheat that will grow up strong. We know that there's things and opportunities that we have to get wrong. And we know that there's going to be times where we're going to be rubbing shoulders with the wheat, rubbing shoulders with the weeds. And there's going to be times where we need to make choices. But one of the things I want to challenge us with as a church is, when I look through the natural, when I look and listen to news reports and see the darkness that's always been there, but now it seems to be coming to the surface. It's a bit like when you're purifying precious metals. It's not until the heat is actually turned on that the dross comes to the top. And maybe, and I don't know, maybe the Lord is turning up the heat on his creation and the dross is coming to the surface. The things that were hidden when it comes to the occult, when it comes to devil worship. And we don't like to use these words because it offends people, but there is sin and there is Satan. And Satan is the author of the sin in the sense that he's the one that comes to rob, steal and destroy. But it's an angel of light that we see when we look around us, and it's not until the heat is turned up that the dross comes to the surface. And as we look through the media at the moment and we look through things that are being said and things that have been shown to us, there is such a darkness. It can reduce you to tears if you watch too much. But we should be aware, church, that we are kingdom people, that the Bible says that he's coming back for a victorious church. That the Bible says that where there is light, there can be no darkness. So if we don't understand these things that are happening, if we don't understand that we, even when we go into meetings, when we fellowship with other people who may have a label of, I'm a tear, I'm a Christian. We need to know that it's just not what we say, it's what we do as well. Now, we're not saved by works, are we? We're saved by faith in Christ alone, through grace alone, through faith alone. But when we grab hold of the truth, when the Lord pulls us and pulls us into his kingdom, then we choose to work for him. And at the overflow of the mouth, the mouth speaks, that is true. But also, if we don't know the truth, we can't speak the truth. So we need to know the truth. We need to ask the Lord to show us the true and the false. Because I don't guarantee this, but I suggest that as we continue to do what the Lord calls us to do, then the enemy will turn up the pressure upon the true church. It was said that we've been in ministry this year 20 years, and those of you that have been with us for a number of years now, right in the early days, we used to have on a regular basis witches and warlocks come in. And they'd be into the occult, they'd be dabbling in all kinds of things. But they would call themselves Christians. I'm a believer, and they were actually a weed in amongst the wheat. But they looked the part. They even said to me on numerous occasions, what can I do to get involved? And I said, well, before you get involved, let's pray. Let's just pray and ask the Lord to bless you and encourage you. Let's ask the Lord to enable his grace to permeate from you. And I'd wrap my arm around them and I'd plead God's blood and apply his blood and be joyous over this person, and they never come back again. Why? Because they were weeds. But they looked the part. They wanted to serve. And I don't say that to elevate myself, but I say that to give us a warning that not everything that shines is gold. So within the church, we're to encourage, aren't we? But we're also to inform. Know the truth and the truth will set you free. See what God says about the end times. See what he says about what's happening. These are not my words about the virgins. There's five foolish and five wise. The difference is some had that oil. Some were ready. So when they said come, they were ready to go. And that's what I want us to be, ready to go. If we're full of the Lord, we're ready to go. But the deceiver comes to deceive us. You know, so often in life, you'll find, I can remember on one occasion, I'm not very good at sports, I've told you that, but I'm fairly fast over a short distance, and then I collapse. But I'm fairly fast at a short distance. I remember I had an opportunity of winning my first and one and only race, and somebody grabbed hold of me and pulled me back. That's what happens sometimes. We're running this race, and Scripture said, who cut in on you? There may be someone who you think is wheat, and they're actually weeds. So I want us to discern. A tree is known by its fruit, isn't it? So it's not just, it's just what we say, it's what we do. And we're not perfect. And if you are, you're in the wrong place, because we're imperfect people serving a perfect God. So I want to encourage us with this this message today, because I want to encourage us to examine ourselves first and then be those that will have eyes to see and ears to hear. What are people saying? We can hear a message. We can listen to this over again and think, that's kind of not quite true. Well, we need to challenge one another on that. If it's not true, it's not true. It can't be half true. It's either true or false. So we need to be those that will be discerning when we get out into the world. But we're not. Our job is not to go and pull and uproot things. The Bible says, leave room for my wrath. That's what God says. We can judge the church, but we shouldn't judge the world. God will judge the world. We can judge one another. You can judge me. And I don't use that word in a judgmental way. I'm talking about you can judge my fruit. You know, if I say that I'm a man of God, I want to preach his word, look at what's happened over 20 years. Have I preached his word? If the answer is yes, then I'm a man of my word when it comes to preaching God's word. If I say that I care and then I don't care, then there's something wrong. You can examine the fruit. Because the Bible talks about figs and thorn bushes. It talks about if you want to say you've got an apple tree and a pear tree. Well, you should not, although you can if you cross-pollinate, you should not get apples on pear trees and vice versa. So we are men and women of the way. We are Christians. We are wheat. But we need to be aware of the weeds. And that's why I'm bringing this message. Just to give us that opportunity just to say, Lord, show me, speak to me. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, this should be a portion of scripture that kind of causes us all a sober reality rain check. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. Well, it goes on. But only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day. What day? That's the end times. That's when the Lord comes back for his own. Many people will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did I not prophesy in your name? Did I not proclaim your goodness, your word? Did I not preach to hundreds, maybe thousands of people? Did I not declare your wonders, your miracles? I'm being evangelistic when I'm adding to scripture. In your name, drive out demons, and in your name, perform many miracles. Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Wow, what a portion of scripture. Well, what about me, Lord? What about me? I preach your word. I share your goodness. What about me? Well, a tree is known by its fruit. Are you just hearers of the word? This is the challenge. Or are you doers of the word? And that's the difference. There are many people that have big, and I'm not there to dish anybody, and I won't mention no names, but the reality is there are many people who are self-important, aren't they? They promote themselves, and it's about their own status, their own wealth, their own ability to influence people, instead of saying, I'm here to serve you. And this goes on to talk about the foolish and the wise builders. Now, you should know this portion of scripture if you don't read it. It's down here in Matthew 7, 24. Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine, Jesus is going on from don't be just hearers but doers. Anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built the house on the rock. Now, when we look at this portion of scripture, I've always been fascinated by this parable. Parables speak to me. Parables give me a simple illustration of what God is saying. And if you imagine, you've got these two houses, they're side by side. And in all intents and purposes, they could be identical above the ground. Yes? So you've got these two houses that look the same. You've got these two individuals that look the same. You've got these two churches that look the same. You've got these two structures in front of you that look identical. But there is a difference between one and the other. And I want to suggest to you that is the difference between the wheat and the weeds. There's a difference. They look the same. On the outside, they look the same. On the outside, they could both be, you could be deceived to thinking they're both awesome structures. But Jesus goes on to say, when the wind of adversity comes, one collapses because it's built on the sand. The other withstands it because it's built on the rock. Now, I want to suggest something to us that we may all have been influenced by this, but the fact you're here today, you haven't succumbed to it. So that's good news. Have you ever been in a situation where you've had people fellowship with you? They've been in church, they've led groups, they've been very, very generous with their finances and their time, they've prayed for people, and then adversity has come. And they've just fallen away. They've just collapsed. Well, I thought I served a loving God. How can I serve a loving God if he allows my sister to die in a car accident? How can I serve a loving God when I've got this person who's just died in agony of cancer, and yet this is other person who's an evil man, and he's alive and thriving, and his business is very successful? How can God be? Well, because their house is built on the sand, not built on the rock. See, Jesus didn't promise us a good time, did he? He didn't say that life would go well. He said trial and tribulation will produce character. Character, hope. Hope will not disappoint. He said trouble you will have. You will have trouble. But be of good cheer. You're in the world but not of the world. And we have an eternal future, don't we? There's going to be a door, if you like. And there's many people, the jail door is open for them. And they are criminals and they can go in and come out and they can do whatever they like. But there's going to be a time where that door is going to be shut and they can't cross over. But for us, if we just don't hear God's word, but we put it into practice, we will be like the wise men, the wise women that built their house on the rock. See, my house is not built on my ability, nor should yours be. My home is not built on how much finance I can produce. And hope yours isn't either. God wants us to be blessed. He wants us to be encouragers. He wants us to have so that we can give. That's all true. But my house is built upon the rock. So when times of adversity comes, I just, God, help me. When something unexpected happens in my life, I have to say, do I believe this? Lord, your ways are not my ways. And that seems a cop-out to Christians, but it's not. Another cop-out for Christians is, if I pray and they live, praise the Lord. If I pray and they die, praise the Lord. It's not down to me, is it? Because my house is built upon the rock. And I suggest that you have had trial and tribulation in your life. I suggest that you've had the rug pulled out from underneath your feet. I suggest you've had good people let you down. Well, maybe, just maybe, some of those people weren't wheat. After all, they were weeds, but they looked like wheat. Maybe they said, Lord, Lord, but when it came to it, their house was built on sand. Because when adversity comes, they collapsed. Now, I'm not talking about people suffering with mental health issues, people suffering with depression because of the trauma of life. Listen, a lot of us have been there. I understand it. But if your house is not built on something solid, it will collapse. And this is why Scripture shows us, tells us, encourages us to keep moving forward. Not just what we say, but what we do. If I was to give an altar call today, if I was to say to people, you know, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, don't worry about it now, you've got a ticket to heaven, live your life however you like, I'd be lying. Now, you do need to believe in your heart, you do need to confess with your mouth, but you also need to build upon the rock. Because the parable of the sower tells us that there were people that received the word with joy, but because they had no root, they shriveled up and died. So there is an opportunity for people to go, I want this Jesus. And then when trial comes along, their house collapses. So the reason I'm bringing this is to strengthen our faith, to say, Lord, all those trials and tribulations I've been through is not wasted. Lord, I don't want to be that person where You say, depart from me, for I did not know you. I want to be that person where you go, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. That doesn't matter if you're a one talent person or a 10 talent person. Just do what God has called you to do with what he's given you to do. So my encouragement for us is to be vigilant in these last days. To be not wary of people. Please don't misunderstand me. Don't be wary of kind-hearted people, because there are people that are in the world that are kind in nature. And they're on a journey. We trust that God will draw them in. But be on your guard against the work of the enemy. Remember, a tree is known by its fruit. This is why I can say with confidence, examine us. Examine us. You'll find that we are flawed. You'll find that we get things messed up, mixed up, upside down, back to front, inside out. But we know this. Because he lives, we also live. Because he died and rose again, we can also die to self and be risen with the Lord. Because he gave, we can receive. Because he hung on a cross and took the wrath of God, we don't have to. And that's the good news of the gospel. It says this in 1 James 1:22. Do not merely listen to the word. So these are not my words. They're scriptural. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. So the word of God is good, yes? But don't just listen to it. Do what it says. So when you're in a gathering with people and it says repent, it means turn away from your wicked ways and turn toward God. It's a simple thing. Don't just hear it, but do it. When it says forgive, don't just hear it, but do it. Because a tree is known by its fruit. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Well, I do that anyway. But this is a spiritual thing. I understand. You know, we can see something but not see it. And what God is saying to us, I believe, as the church, not just you and I, but the church, is that let's not just listen to the word. Let's not just be someone that says, I've done my daily reading, now I'm fine. But when God points something out in that scripture, question it. What do you mean by that, Lord? What are you saying to me by that, Lord? What does this mean to me? And allow his word to do the work. Because this is the key, I believe, if you want to talk about keys to the kingdom. The key isn't about joining a self-help group. The key is about saying, Lord, what are you saying to me? Looking for the truth and then living out the truth. Once he's shown you. Could you imagine, like some of his disciples, well, what about him? How come you're favoring him? Listen, you do what I've called you to do. What happens to him is between me and him. And so often in life, if we're not careful, we can see what's happening with the weeds and become envious of what the weeds are doing, not understanding that we thought they were wheat and they're deceiving us. So let's be a people that will be encouraged to not just hear the word, but do the word. Be those that will discern what is before us to see the fruitfulness of those around us. Do you know what? There are people that I will always love within the Lord, but some that I won't trust. God, get your head around that. There are people who I will love in the Lord, but people that I won't trust. But when it comes to God's word, it's trustworthy. It never changes. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the enemy, I believe, is at work, always been at work, to try and rob, steal, and destroy the gift that God has given us life and life in all its fullness. And so often we can be deceived at that fullness, thinking that it's just everything is okay. You know, we should never be ill. We should never be in lack. Do you know what? Paul says, I know what it is to be in want, and I know what it is to be well fed. Did it change his relationship with his creator? No. I know. Can you imagine? Have you ever been in the situation? There was a film, I can't remember what it was, and there was a Clint Eastwood and a female actor, and she said, yeah, but I've got these scars, and she'd do this. He said, you call that a scar? This is a scar, and of course, 10 minutes of showing their scars. And so often we can do that, can't we? We can say, you think you've got it bad. Well, the Apostle Paul was in one of them positions, weren't he? Where you could imagine the conversation going something like this. Yeah, but you don't understand what it's like. He said, beaten numerous times. 40 lashes minus one. I've been shipwrecked. I've been betrayed by my enemies. I've been betrayed by my friends. My scars are deep, but my Redeemer lives. And I ministered a message some years ago, and that's one of the most enlightening things that was shown to me, and it was the message entitled Scars and Scabs. And you think, that's not very nice, but just think about what a scar and a scab is. You see, a scab is a wound that never heals, because you keep picking it. A scar is a wound that's healed. Many of us are full of scars. They're wounds that have been healed because the Holy Spirit and His balm has come upon us. As we go through this world, as we go through this next chapter of our life, let's recognize that tree. Recognize it by its fruit. That's what the Bible says. Make a tree good and the fruit is good. Make a tree bad and the fruit is bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. And then he goes on to encourage them. You brood of vipers. A tree is recognized by its fruit. So let's just not listen to what someone says. Let's watch what they do. If you're going to trust your finances, trust your memories. If you're going to sit with someone and unburden some of the things that's happened in your life, look at their fruitfulness. And the reason I share that is because the reality is we're only hurt by the ones we love. We're never hurt by those that we don't love. So as we give a bit of ourselves, we become hurt. And if we're not careful, the weeds that are growing beside the wheat will choke us. But God's given us life and life in all its fullness. So I want us to be a church that will kind of go through all of this message and pull out the good bits and just say, Lord, speak to me afresh. Show me what it is you want me to know. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing. But inwardly, they are furious wolves. By their fruits, you will recognize them. When we look through something someone is saying, there are words that we can use of our own to try and illustrate something. But there are words that God has inspired through his word. And if we link those words together, we will see a thread. We'll see a picture of what the Lord is really saying here. So when I speak of stories and when I talk about encouraging, when I speak about the false and the true and the fruitfulness, there's something that spans throughout Scripture that will bring all these things together to give us a full picture of what God is really saying. Watch out for false prophets. So he says it plainly here. He's not putting it in a parable where he's saying there's weeds and there's wheat. There's a house that's built on the sand and there's a house that's built on the rock. He's telling us plainly here, watch out for false prophets, false teachers, false Christians, false friends, false colleagues. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are furious wolves. Then it goes on to say, by their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? No. So I want to encourage us. I know this may sound a bit heavy, but it's actually an encouraging message. Why? Because it just causes us to take stock. Who am I? Where am I? Am I built? Is my feet on solid ground? Is my feet on solid ground? Well, if my feet is on solid ground, then I'm built on the rock. If I'm built on the rock, then when the wind of adversity comes, when the snow comes down, my house will not fall. Why? Because I'm built on solid ground. So if you're a Christian, a follower of Christ, one that's discipled, disciplined, then it doesn't matter what comes your way. But because we're human beings, there will be weeds that come alongside us to encourage us, so we think. But they actually come to pull us away. They come to pull us away. Why? Because they're working not for the Lord. You're either for me or against me. That's what God says. You're either for me or against me. And if you're for me, you're for me. And if you're against me, then that's obvious. You're against me. For my Father's will, it's a news report. My Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. And I will raise them up at the last day. That's the will of God for my life and your life and those that are working and walking beside us. The will of God is that man will see his glory. When we look in the Old Testament, there was a plague that came upon the Jews. They were being wiped out, and they were told to make this serpent and hold it up, this gold serpent. And they were told, all those that look to the serpent will be saved. Well, all those that look to the Son of Man, to the Son of God, will be saved. So for me and you, I want to leave you with this encouragement, that by our fruits we'll be recognized. Make a tree good and its fruit will be good. So I want us to be good trees to have good fruit. Doesn't mean that we won't walk in disappointment. Doesn't mean that we won't walk in ways that we shouldn't. Doesn't mean that we won't say something, we won't do something, we won't watch something that causes us to stop. But it causes us to stop. It causes us to evaluate where we are. And it causes us to move forward. So the wheat and the weeds, we need to know that we are wheat, that we're not weeds. We need to know that when the bridegroom comes, then we're ready. We need to know that. Thank you, Lord. We need to know that we are fruitful people, encouraging people. Guys, if we don't have it, we can't give it, can we? If we don't know it, we can't proclaim it. If we haven't received it, it wouldn't have done us good first before we can pass it on. So know the truth will set us free. Be of good cheer. Understand the world in which we live in. Understand that there are good people that bad things will happen to. Understand that there are good people that want to do good things. And let's be encouragers. Let's be each other's cheerleaders. Let's encourage people with a word of exhortation. When we see something that we can celebrate in other people's lives, let's celebrate it. Let's not go, oh, it's okay for you with your new car. Let's celebrate that new car. Why? Because it's provision from the Lord. You know, as we give, out of the overflow of the heart, we will receive. As we give it, we receive it back. But be aware that as we go through this world, I want us to pray that we have eyes to see and ears to hear. Because there are false prophets, there are wolves in sheep's clothing, there are tares amongst the wheat, there are weeds amongst the wheat. So it's not to frighten us because we're on the winning side. We know the end of the book, don't we? The Lord has already won, we just need to stand firm. And when we stand firm, I'll leave you with this, we stand firm in the full armour of God. Not just a little bit, not just with the helmet of salvation, but with the sword of the Spirit. Not with the sword of the Spirit and the helmet, but with the feet of the gospel. With a breastplate of righteousness, not because of what we've done, but because of what he's done. So let's take the fullness of what God is saying. Let's dissect the bits that are me and extract the bits that are him and say, okay, Lord, what do I need to know going forward? Show me the wheat, show me the weeds, help me to be fruitful as I serve you. Amen. Amen.